Hello everyone, and today we're having a special talk with Dr. Michael Lightman and Gideon Bachar, a special ambassador, messenger for climate change and sustainability, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Hello, Gideon. Gideon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to everyone.
What Gideon wanted to talk about is climate change and the state that we're in today, that it seems that things are deteriorating from one day to the next. We'd like to hear his opinion as a professional who's been engaged in this for the past 25 years, as an emissary of Israel and Africa and in other places, and what the wisdom of Kabbalah has to say about this. So please, the talk is yours. Gideon, if you have any questions.
I'm ready. I'm also ready to listen. It's a very interesting topic, and I'm a bit not that knowledgeable about it.
Okay, thank you very much.
What's your kind of work? Are you in charge of the climate?
I'm responsible in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs for sustainability and climate change. These topics have very high priority nowadays in the world. Countries around the world are dealing with this, are engaged in it intensively. And it's really, you have to deepen into these things and have lots of knowledge about it in order to be able to deal with these things. And my role is to be the professional on part of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. We have 103 foreign ministries around the world. I advise them how to act in regard to climate change and also equip them with tools, information, whatever is necessary. On the 17th of June, for example, there was the International Deserting Day, and we turned to all of our embassies around the world, what has to be done, what is Israel doing. Many ambassadors published articles or gave lectures about the topic. How can we stop this? So more or less, this is what I do. I really see what I'm doing as a true mission, because the way I see it today, we are on the verge of a big disaster. This is my opinion, and I'll be glad to hear what Dr. Lightman has to say about this. We're on the verge of the point of no return. And it's interesting for me to know, what do you think about this, Dr. Lightman, about the climate crisis, the environmental crisis?
I think we agree. If we speak, we will see that it's very close. And I don't understand how there could be a conflict of interests here. I remember 40 or 50 years ago when this topic was in its diapers, and I had a friend, I don't know where he is now, that he was working in it in here in Israel. And then I started to know the topic. The topic of the climate is probably the most important topic after the financial situation. And soon we'll also see that there's a financial crisis. People are already saying that in the next decade, we will have a lot of problems with the climate. We'll have heat waves, deep colds, we'll have hurricanes, and other phenomena. It's not missing what will happen. And that's why I see that to me, it seems that it's more important than all of the politics and all of the things that are happening. When nature hits, then everyone bows their heads and they have to do what needs to be done. That's nature. So let's hear. Tell us a bit more. Ask some questions. Maybe we'll find. Because according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, the solution is with our behavior. In short, the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches us that from the animate, still vegetative and speaking, we have four levels in nature. And Adam, humans, are the main propagator of the wrong and harm that's happening. It's causing all of the harm in nature. Nature is in balance, in harmony. The still vegetative and animate are in harmony. And if it wasn't for us, they would all be in harmony and balanced. And we see that if people rise to their level, it sees that as soon as the animate rises to the speaking, to the level the humans are on, we see that they start doing damage. So what we need to do is start to educate people. The wisdom of Kabbalah is entirely based on education, that we will feel ourselves on this whole, as this whole part of nature of still vegetative, animate, and speaking, that he's part of it and he's at the head of it. And he needs to bring it to the correct integration. And it all needs to happen because of people. And if a person doesn't deal with this, then he will just destroy nature.
Yeah, I have to say that from the scientific point of view and human behavior, this is how it is too, because we see how man's impact not only determines nature and the environment, but also the future of mankind. And we see this here in Israel too, how entire fields are being built on green areas that are supposed to be green are being built upon. There's no room left for nature. Recently, I read a research that the amount of bugs in the world is decreasing by 1% a year. 1% per year. I don't know. Do our listener understand the importance of the world of bugs to our existence? They are at the beginning of the food chain. Every next in line feeds off that. They're the ones that allow us to have fruits and vegetables and so on.
Right.
And to tell you the truth, I don't understand. First of all, how does this thing not, how the public doesn't internalize this, how the public in Israel can't see it?
Because it's uncomfortable. An egoistic person wants to think about what's happening close to him, what's good for him, right here and now. And tomorrow he doesn't see. That's really out of their perception, out of their view. It's not in their ego. He's not afraid, because he doesn't have it. And that's why they don't listen. They really don't hear. That's the whole matter. We have to correct our nature in order for us to hear. And our nature is egoistic. And this egoistic nature doesn't want to hear anything, especially if it obligates me to care for some bugs, or for some birds, or for some animals. For what? It's the person that doesn't want any obligation, any burden, just wants to earn, and exert as little as possible. I don't think the wisdom of Kabbalah says that we can only do it in another way. We have to have education. It needs to be an education that satisfies us the knowledge and the process that we go through inside ourselves, that we're dependent on the whole entire system of the still animated, vegetative, and speaking. We're not just dependent on bugs. We're also dependent on people. We're also dependent on the whole still vegetative and animate and speaking. And that's the problem. We need to somehow establish this system of education.
I agree that education is a central factor, and so it seems to me, if I understand what you're saying, that education also in terms of not only in schools, but general education for the public.
Yes, exactly. That school is just pupils that hear and forget. We need people, adults too, that will be able to receive this information and really have it get through to them, and that they'll care for everything. What kind of world are we leaving for our children? Within 10 years, there'll be nothing left.
True, I agree. I also think that one of the problems is that people think that it will not happen in their lifetime. They're saying, climate change will take decades, centuries, and climate change isn't something that is man-made, but it's something natural that always existed in nature. And many times people say that, there is climate change, but me, what can I do? And I think that one of the heavy problems is, how do we allow a simple person to understand, first of all, for him to have the correct awareness through education, and also in terms of actions, how do we make it so that a person and his behavior and the way that he lives, that the people that he talks to, that the place that he works in, how eventually does he change his habits in relation to all that and his needs, and stops working in destroying the environment and the climate, but in preserving it all?
I think that with your role, we can establish an educational system that people will learn what kind of world we live in. That we live in an integral world where all of the parts depend on the other parts in an integral way. And that's why we need to care for each and every part in nature. And it all depends on this correction of humans. You see, in the still animate and vegetative, that as we're hiding in our homes, the animals go out on the streets. They're everywhere, in the kindergartens, and they're happy. They're happy to be out of their hiding places, that people were really pushing them away. As I understand, when we went to schools, but what can you do at schools when you're at that age? What can you really learn about it? But now we see that we're adults, that we're able to really make these conclusions and learn about these things and grasp these things. And it's not 1,000 or 200 years, it's really within 10 years what will happen with our planet Earth. We still have time. We still have time to stop this degradation. We are still able to educate and learn how we need to connect, be connected between ourselves and connected with nature, and care for these things, because it is one system.
Also reports, the UN report shows, there's an interesting report called A Degree and a Half, that according to the Paris agreements, it says that it's forbidden to surpass the 2% 2% increase in terms of heat, and if we can keep it at 1.5, even better. The difference between 1.5 degrees and 2 degrees, the difference between the two is enormous. An increase of 2 degrees Celsius, 90% of what we have will disappear. People don't understand how much nature and all of creation depends on corals. This is the basis upon which our life is based on.
Yes.
And if it's only a degree and a half, then only 50% will be destroyed. Still, it's 50%. Also, the difference between a degree and a half and 2 degrees Celsius, this half degree of Celsius, is a meter of increase in sea level. Most of the peoples live in cities, in areas that are close to the ocean. So even an increase in centimeters, sometimes millimeters, has tremendous impacts. By the way, we mentioned bugs. So in that report of a degree and a half of the UN, it says that that half degree, the difference between a degree and a half Celsius and two, will bring to the disappearance of 80% of those places where germs live nowadays in the world. I always talk about, I lecture a lot about this field. Anyone who asks for me to lecture and talk about this, I always do it gladly. And always my PowerPoints include a chapter, a practical chapter about what can be done, because I think that it's not fair to come and present all these very harsh numbers and figures without giving people hope and telling them what can we still do in order to change this. And on the personal level, I know that one of the central things is to stop consuming Tupperware that pollutes the oceans, plastic that pollutes everything. Today I have micro and nanoplastic fibers in everything. Even in the Alps, they found in the air plastic fibers. We breathe plastic, we eat plastic, and drink plastic. And this is something that we can change. Because if a person that goes to the supermarket, doctor,
how do we change? We can speak very nicely. We understand that we can speak and speak. But how do we change people? That's the question. It's not to change the plastic, it's to change the person. And it's a lot harder to change than plastic. How do we do this? Here's the question.
What do you think? Because this is something that I'm bothered with all the time. How to convince, how to explain, I know, but how to convince people to act, that's a challenge.
That's what I'm saying. We need to have an educational system that each and every person in Israel, let's say Israel, a small country, each and every person in Israel must, like a student, pass a course. Each week, he needs to listen to a lecture. And afterwards, he has assignments, quizzes, multiple choice question. It's answered a simple questionnaire that every person will know how to answer. And this will be as something necessary. Without that, they won't have anything. They won't get any assistance from the government. They won't be part of the nation. We need to do this to change our harmful nature. The country, the nation must do this. That all of the ecologists, this whole ecological crisis should be at the top of it. Anyone dealing with it, all these ecologists, it doesn't matter if they're on the left or the right, they all need to be caring for this. It doesn't matter who's at the top, who's leading. We see that the ecologists are at the top because the ecologists are speaking at a level that you can't say that you belong to the left or to the right. There's no left or right. There's survival. We all need to eat. We all need to live. And that's why you need to be more assertive and demand that it will happen, that it's coming from education, that we need this education. And we can do it anywhere. We have televisions in every room, we have phones in every person, and we need once a week to have a lecture, a lesson, that each one must then answer small tests and send it back. And by that, within months, you'll see that there's a change in people's consciousness. They will be aware of the bugs, of these things that you're talking about. And who knows, maybe there'll be other things that people will be aware of. Because, you know, people can hear stuff, but it, you know, it just passes right through them. That's why, from your office, from your role, it can happen. Because all of the rest are full of politics, and here, no. Here, it is our life, it's our survival, it's the air that we breathe. There's nothing more than that.
For sure. This is one of the bigger challenges. I think that the big challenge is, how do I, as a person who sees these things, suppose I have the ability to see the vision of these things, how can I generate such a change, this kind of education that you're talking about? This is truly a very heavy responsibility. I wanted to ask.
Yes.
It really interests me to know, why is this happening? Why is this crisis, environmental crisis, crisis with the climate? Is there some kind of upper program, plan? I'd be happy to hear. I'm a professional that works on the practical level, but it's important for me to understand the upper spiritual levels of what's going on.
What's spiritual? It's nature. You understand? It's nature. In Gematria, Elohim, God, is the same mathematical as nature. We're speaking in this way. That seems a little higher than it, but after all, it's just nature. And we are learning how can we be in harmony with nature, how we influence nature, and how nature influences us, how it's a mutual impact on each other. So what we're learning in the wisdom of Kabbalah is balance, harmony. How we need to have harmony on all the levels of still vegetative, animate, and speaking. And that's why we learn that it all depends on us. And only by education we will be able to overcome it, because we are all egoistic by nature. And we need to have the tools to be able to cope with the ego, so that we'll slowly be able to correct this egoistic nature. So when we learn how to overcome this evil harm doing that's inside each person, we see that we have a system that can help us, and we'll be able to avoid this terrible end that we see coming. And we see that it all depends on education. I'm willing to answer each and every question that you have.
Maybe I'll say a few words for the sake of the public, to use this stage for an educational act, and to say that actually the environmental crisis consists of several environmental crises. It's not just one. We have to understand the severity of the matter. There is the climate change that we're familiar with, that we see it in the coming in the forms of hurricanes, storms, acute famine, rising in sea levels, melting of icebergs in the poles, fires, so on. And there's also an additional crisis, which is a state where larger and larger areas around the world are becoming deserts, where they're no longer fit for agriculture or for anyone to, for the animate level to be able to exist there. And everyone's responsible for this on one level or another. And besides the desertification crisis, there's also we're in an age of the disappearance of species. Up to 200 species of the vegetative, the animate, are disappearing every day. Dozens of types, kinds, forms of animals, up to 200 a day. This is one of the harshest crises that we have. Also, the biomass, the volume that animals are taking up in the world, is decreasing. Another crisis, which is very severe, is the world water crisis. There is less and less drinking water around the world. The aquifers are drying out, ponds, lakes, there's even the Jordan River. There's barely any more water left in it in the summer. And not only the decrease in water amounts, also the quality of the water is decreasing. It's becoming more polluted. And in addition, the water is also becoming less accessible. For example, I was an ambassador in Africa for 5 years. I saw how people live. They used to walk 10 kilometers in order to bring water. Now, when the river that they used to get their water from dried out, they need to go even further. So, and of course, pollution. Everything around us is polluted. The water, the air, there's plastic. It says that in every minute, about 8 trucks of plastic are thrown into the ocean. This is the pace, more or less. There are islands the size of Texas floating in the ocean. Islands of garbage. And human beings are responsible for all of this. And being engaged in these things, and I see the tremendous impact, effect that it has, I'm saying, are you pessimistic, optimistic? Do you have hope? Don't you? And every time I have to convince myself that there has to be hope, that pessimism is not an option. And I wanted to ask you, are you, in light of what I've explained, and probably you're familiar with the numbers and figures, are you an optimist or a pessimist in terms of our ability to change and correct?
Our ability to change and correct, I am optimistic. I believe we can do it. But I am pessimistic in the way that we're implementing it. Because it all depends on education. I'm repeating this. It depends on our education. Let's think, how can we convince the United Nations, UNESCO, and all other kinds of governmental bodies, how we need to have an educational system that will have an educational system for all of humanity, for all of the nations. Let's do it at least in Israel. Let's give an example to the world. Why can't we convince the government? And this is something very good, very nice, that people will speak positively about. That 2 or 3 hours a week, two hours, we obligate each person in the country to listen and watch certain lectures on the ecological crisis and other forms of education, that they'll be able to learn and have a system in which they can start to understand and really be able to do something about it. And they'll learn what world we live in. We're not going to leave this planet in the way it currently is. That's what I think. But I'm not able to turn to anyone. Who am I?
I hope that at least those that are listening and watching, that this thing will already cause some kind of change in them.
It has to be in another way. It has to come from the state. I think that's the only thing that a state can do. It has to do it openly. It has to be proud of what it's doing. It has to be proud of its education, that we are the first nation that's giving an education about the world.
Of how to prevent these disasters and escalation.
That's what I think. I don't understand why this nation that's looking for all these different ways of looking nice for these others, and why it hasn't seen this as something that's certain to do it. There's no loss in this. There's only benefit in it. And we have to do it in a way that's assertive, that once a week, for 2 hours, each one will sit in front of their televisions or their telephones and watch a program that they'll be able to answer questions about. And we will see, according, I'll tell you more, we'll see that as soon as you do that, we will feel how much nature with us in our area will start to respond positively. Because nature is like a living body. And we'll start to feel how it responds to us with its really face towards us. You'll see, and the whole world will see. Why aren't we doing this?
I'm all in favor. When I look realistically at the different interests, they're the interests, economic interests of gas and oil companies. Everyone knows that we have to stop with that.
I'm not talking about them. I'm sorry for interrupting, and I'm not talking about them. I'm not talking about that. I don't want to fight anyone. I don't want to fight anyone. They can do whatever they want. I just want people will get education, that the connection between us and the connection with nature in the correct attitude to nature, without telling them to close down the gas and other things going on. I'm not telling them any of that. I'm just saying that we need to acknowledge the integral nature, that we impact nature and nature impacts us. I need this to reach the ears of the people, and we'll see within a few months that there will be a change, like we saw that within 2 weeks all kind of animals were going out on the street, that we were just hiding inside. Nature was just waiting for that.
I agree. But still, I have doubts, because when I look at the existing system and I say, how will it change?
It will change not by people, it will change by giving them this acknowledgement that they're aware of this. They will hear it, and from that there will be change. It won't be that a person will go and close all these different sources that are being tapped in nature. It'll be completely different.
How can a person, suppose, a simple person, like me, like our listeners, viewers, how can a person take, suppose, this talk, these ideas that came up in this talk, and to implement this in a person's day-to-day behavior?
You can't. From this one conversation, nothing will happen. A person really needs this as if it's a brainwash, that they need to hear this every day. They need to care for this, that it'll be for their children, their grandchildren, that it will depend on them, their attitude to nature, that they will understand that they're living in this integral nature, and he needs to care for this whole nature. And it all depends on the education. It takes months, it might be half a year, and they will understand that there's this interchange that will happen. And then you'll see change. Not just change in the person, but you will see that by it getting through to them, that they'll understand the crisis ahead of them, and it'll change the world.
Is there something in the wisdom of Kabbalah, or in studying the wisdom of Kabbalah, that a person who studies it or wants to live according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, that can help him?
Of course. Everything that I'm saying comes from the wisdom of Kabbalah. The wisdom of Kabbalah speaks entirely about integral nature. That we need to get to this state where it's all circular. It's all a circular system. And we need to relate to it in that way. And then we feel that this general force that fills the world is called revelation of the Creator to His created beings. That's why your work and your closeness to the ecological system is part of the education that we need.
I think that this is very important, what you're saying, and I think that most people, or we as mankind in general, we kind of missed out and are missing out on the spiritual dimension of connecting to nature, protecting the environment. We also look at ourselves as some kind of a disconnected entity, as though we're not a part of this creation. When I see, for example, people that are chopping down trees, deforests, there are tens of thousands of people being cut down, even in cities, because you have to, I don't know, it litters someone's car, you need to pass an electrical cable. More than 500,000 trees are cut down, even in cities. These are terrible things. I feel that we're toward the end of our talk. I'd like to ask Gidon. I hear Dr. Lightman saying that there is one factor, the relations between us, that if we will study them, it will influence the dozens of crises that you've mentioned. And you're talking about explanation and explanation. You're saying that you yourself are doing it for 25 years, and it's not enough. Dr. Lightman is also talking about a kind of sanction, that a person has to do it. It's not an option. Once a day or once every few days, he has to learn these things and take a test, and then he gets certain privileges.
Like we're conscripted into the army as part of the national obligation. We need this kind of education. We need to learn how we can care for our world, our planet.
And this will actually give an example to the world of how can we fight this crisis and not only talk about it or tell about it and try to convince. Do you see this as something that's possible to implement?
If you start to do it, we'll be with you.
I'm always in favor, and especially when there is someone like Dr. Lightman behind me and the viewers and everything. It's not a simple challenge.
We'll give you strength.
So we're going for it.
So let's summarize. We will meet again, and you will think, how can we get closer to implementing this, to educating?
I think that this is a good operative summary, conclusion. We always have to aspire for action.
Right, and if you would like, I'm always available to you. I'm very happy to speak with you and hear about this. The truth is, we don't have any books about the ecology and Kabbalah, right, Gilad?
We have books that talk about this too, but in conclusion, I got this message while I was sitting here. I heard something about you, Gidon, if it's okay, that you used to fight anti-Semitism. Do you see something changing? This would happen a few years ago. Did you see something changing from then to this day? It's a bit of a different field, but still a few words about that. Yeah, anti-Semitism is on the rise in the world acutely. When I became engaged in this in 2011, I already saw this trend happening. And I said that it's on the rise, and we even see this today in places that we didn't expect it, like in the United States. In many places, Jews are afraid of being Jews. You see it in Europe and other places. It's also a part of the comprehensive trend of hate against, of racism in general, in short. And I also see this as a part of this topic that we're talking about today, our attitude toward the environment, nature, ecology, that we also treat it cruelly. By the way, there is a direct connection between the environmental crisis, climate crisis, and rise in anti-Semitism. And this connection is expressed in that areas that in which there is climate change, there is immigration from those countries, suppose from Africa to Europe. The immigrants left those places due to climate problems. There is antagonism in the local population against those foreigners. They start hating them, and that includes Jews too, that suffer as a result of this entire combination. And also those that come from the Middle East and as a part of immigrating due to climate problems, some of them bring with them extreme Islam, and therefore we see the growth and the strengthening of Muslim anti-Semitism in Europe. So everything is related to everything. And everything comes together. I think that if really the relations between us as human beings will be better, then naturally our attitude toward nature will be better. If our attitude toward nature will be better, then our relation toward each other will be much better. Dr. Lightman?
I agree with everything you said. I just think we need to start working practically. And I'm willing to help in any way possible, as much as possible. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Thank you for this talk. Thank you, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Gidon Bachar, ambassador and special envoy of the Foreign Ministry for Climate Change.
Thank you very much. We'll meet again.
Me too. Thank you very much.
מפגשים עם קבלה.